Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perrier about calcium bentonite clay. I'm really excited to be with you this morning. It's spring here in Texas, and everybody's getting busy. They're busy in their yards, and they're busy planning trips, and they're busy going to the lake. And I saw my first mosquito yesterday, and the trees are blooming. The redbud trees are already in bloom. So everybody in Texas is getting in high gear, and it's the busy season. So hope you're having at least a sign of spring. It's on its way. It's supposed to be in the high 80s here today. Come on down and warm up, you northerners. This is a time when we talk about your questions about calcium bentonite clay. So we're going to go over to the Q&A page and see what we have in store. Mike McKenzie from Edinburgh, Scotland. Hi, Mike. Wow, good to have you on board. Said, Perry, I've been with you for about 15 years and still spreading the word. I would like to buy some bentonite clay, please. As I've finished what I had, can you let me know the procedure, please? Well, Mike, good to hear from you, and glad that we've got some clay over there in Scotland. I'd love to come visit that area someday. Let me email you some sources of my favorite clay, and they give discounts, and it's not proper etiquette for the FCC for me to send something through the internet like this because it's seen as advertisement. So I have your email here, and I will email you what you need to do to get the clay. I no longer own the company. We sold the company in 2015. The new company doesn't give customer service. We did, but these people sell that clay, and they give excellent service. So I will send you those, and you can check them out. They always have good discounts, more so than what the company does. So thank you for inquiring and for keeping on with that clay. And by the way, I have a new book out, and if you want to read the first chapter, if you go to theclaybook.com and act like you're going to buy it, you can read the first chapter of the book, which I think is fascinating. I've learned so much more information, and you can also look at the table of contents to see what all the book has in it there. And I'd encourage you to do that. I don't know, too, since you're in Scotland, Mike, if you know that we've set up a new free educational website. The new company took down the aboutclay.com site, and since everything on it was my material, I started another one. And it's got lots of articles. It has recordings of these teleseminars and out beside them what we talked about, so you can kind of pick the ones you want to listen to. Tons of information there. So there's a free booklet on how to mix the clay. The new procedures are a little faster and more effective than some of the old ones were. And so all of that's there on that site for free. So I invite you to go to bentoniteclayinfo.com. There's also a link there. It'll take you to the book site. www.bentoniteclayinfo.com. Okay, Darlene in Chicago. I cannot do calcium in any form. It creates migraines in me. Is this calcium clay considered a form of calcium? If so, can you send a sample to try? Well, I don't own the company, so I can't exactly send you a sample to try. Here's the thing. It's got some calcium in it, and the calcium is one of the minerals that's bioavailable to the body, but you only get it in little small amounts, not a measure amount. It wouldn't be considered a calcium supplement. So if you want to try it and see, another thing, when you get those migraine headaches, if you take this clay and make it in the form of a mask to put on topically, put some over your forehead or the back of your neck or your temples, wherever the headache has settled, and drink a little of the liquid clay. I had one lady that had migraine headaches, and she said when she'd take a clay bath, they would just go away. And the last time she had one, she only had a half a cup of clay. Generally, we recommend a full cup of clay mixed as a liquid and added to your bath water. And she only had a half a cup of clay, and she got that and went in and soaked in the tub, and her headache was gone just in minutes. So that's a good way to get rid of some of those headaches. I had a person the other day that was suffering from sinus headache, and I was delivering a talk to a massage class, and I took some samples of clay up there, of the mixed clay, and he took the paste and put it over the sinus pockets above his eyes, across his forehead, and under his cheeks. He smeared the clay, and he came up to me and said, "I can feel it already loosening stuff up. It's pulling, and I can feel the sensation." And before he left, he was amazed, and he wanted to see about selling the clay, because he said, "My sinuses have already opened up, and that pressure that was in there is gone." So when clay works, it works very, very quickly, and it's known to bring energy. When you have a migraine headache, we resist the pain, and the more we resist, the more it persists, because it stops the flow of energy. And what you really need to do is breathe and relax and get that flow going and the blood flow going. And it's hard to do when you have a pounding headache. But the clay easily takes care of that. So try putting some over your forehead, temple, back of your neck, wherever the headache has settled. And I wouldn't be afraid of taking it. I think the amount of calcium you consume, you only get four minerals from the clay: a little calcium, sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And it's not in a supplemental amount. We never tell anybody to stop their supplements when you're taking clay. The other minerals are bound together tightly. These are in the cation exchange area, and it depends on your body which ones will be exchanged. It may not open the exchange. My friend Caro in Chicago, hi there. Which is the organ in the body that we can detox externally with clay packs? Thanks a lot. There are several organs. The body organs are the liver, the kidneys, the pancreas, your lower abdomen. When you put a clay pack over a major body organ, the thyroid gland, the first two times you do it, you don't want to leave it on all night. Let the body kind of adjust to the clay and the workings of the clay. So leave it on for an hour the first time, and then after that, if you have no problems, it hasn't worn you out or anything. Sometimes it drains your energy the first time if you leave it on all night. Then you can leave it on all night. Just put a thin coat on and let it dry. But ideally, if you want to really do something over these organs, you need to put the mask on thickly and put some saran wrap over it, and then leave it on all night. And you can look on the internet to see the human body and say, where's my thyroid gland, where's my liver located, where's my pancreas, where's my where are my kidneys, and it will show you. Also, underneath your arms, we have lymph glands. It's good to put clay under there sometimes, too. All those organs are elimination channels. The liver and the kidneys and the lymph glands are filtering channels for the body. So try that and see how that does. Okay, let's see. Shanda Wilson, what amount of clay should I take for an upset, nauseated stomach? I would start sipping on little bits of clay. Maybe start with an ounce. When your stomach's upset, anything you put in it kind of triggers it. So just sip on a little clay. And anytime you get nauseous again, go drink some more. If you throw up, after you throw up, rinse your mouth out and drink a little bit more, and it usually calms it down very, very quickly. I mean, I've gotten over food poisoning in a matter of 10 to 15 minutes when I was running from both ends, so to speak. So, but, you know, if you're nauseated like that, if you take a big amount at first, you might just trigger another throwing up session. So start slow and sort of sip it down. And I think you'll find it settles it real quickly. Felix in Tulsa. Perry, I have your Living Clay book and I love it. Where can I get the new updated version? Thank you. Well, if you love that one, you're going to really love the new one. It's called Bentonite Clay, Calcium Bentonite Clay, Nature's Pathway to Healing. And if you go to www.thetheclaybook.com, it'll take you right to the book. You can click on the link to buy the book, and it will show you a picture of the book, and you can go in and read a chapter. And you're not buying it until you get to the checkout anyway. So you can pull it up there. There are reviews there. And if any of you have read it would like to give a review, if you'll go there to theclaybook.com. I tried to make it simple. And would like to leave a review there, I would love it. And thank you for that. And I'd love to hear back your comments on it. People, it's just a world of difference of knowledge that I learned on taking the clay, how to be aggressive with it, and mixing directions, easier mixing directions, and all of that. So thank you for that, and I hope you love the new one as much as you love the old one. Ed Smith in Milwaukee, is there any way that clay can help with seasonal allergies? Yes, in several ways, drinking it and applying it, like I say, to your sinuses, if your eyes start itching and watering, if you'll put some clay, a mask on a little pressed cotton makeup removing pad and close your eye and hold it over your eyes. You can put it on one eye, each eye for 15 minutes. It stops the itching. It stops the runny eyes, your sinus areas. But drinking the clay, now, a lot of people have had, it's helped their allergies, but you may have to drink it daily for 6 months to really start seeing the fix. You just finally realize the things that are triggering you aren't quite as bad as they used to or actually aren't bothering you anymore. I used to walk into a house with a dog or a cat, and all I could smell was dog and cat, and the dander, I would start sneezing, and my eyes were running, and if I ever touched them and touched my face, I was just on fire. And now I can stay there all day, go visit my daughter. She doesn't have to put her dog out, you know. So it's amazing. I have got to where I can get around these things that I couldn't before, but it does take drinking it over several months before you begin to see the effects. And I would start with 1 or 2 ounces at least 2 times a day. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go back and let's see. Here's one from Candy and Forced Medicine. Could clay help with uterine fibroids? Yes, it can, several ways. Drinking the clay, applying a poultice over your stomach, and using a clay douche. And with the douche, you would want to put 2 ounces of the premixed liquid clay to a pint, which is 2 cups of water, and do a douche. Drinking the clay has helped a lot of them, the fibroids, to shrink. There is an article about that on bentoniteclayinfo.com, and you could go there, and I'm pretty sure it's there, and if it's not, I'm going to send you an article on it, and I have your email here, and I will email you that particular article, and then I'll check and make sure it's on the website as well. Carol, can you mention again about drinking the clay, or do you drink liquid only not the sediment at the bottom of the container. I think I'm missing something. When I mix the clay, I like to mix it in a blender for the liquid. It's a 1-to-8 ratio, and I blend it on high for 30 seconds. When you do this and you blend it on high for that long, you have less residue at the bottom. Sometimes you're going to get a little residue when you get down to the bottom. You can add water to it and shake the clay loose and let it set just a minute and still have a little more clay water. Or you can just add water to it and feed it to your plants and they'll bloom like crazy. Ivy plants love it. All your plants will start blooming and really, really grow. It's fertilizer to plants. And some people would like to drink it. If so, I would shake it up each time and get the sediment loose in there where you're not just drinking the gritty part all at one time. I just like the smooth, creamy clay, so I kind of drink off the top, and when I get down to the bottom, I add some water to it and give it to my plants. Put it if you water the birds, put it in the birds' water, too. That's another thing. Put it in your pet's water bowl. I think it's a matter of preference. And I've never heard of anybody, I heard a lot of people drinking all of it. And one lady said she had had, I don't know how many colonoscopies because she had a horrible colon problems. And she was just drinking it all down and said they never mentioned any sand or grit being in her colon. I think she had had 6 colonoscopies and they didn't find any. And she kept drinking the clay and it cured all the problems they were finding, and so they didn't have to remove her colon. So you probably heard me talk about that one. That's sort of amazing. Okay, let's see if we have any more. Debbie in Philadelphia. I want to try adding some clays to some recipes I have. Is it better to use the dry clay, the clay mask, or the liquid? It's better to use the clay mask or the liquid. If you put the dry in there, it's going to get lumpy on you and it's not dissipated. Once you've mixed it in a smooth liquid or a mask, it's evenly hydrated. But if you sprinkle the powder on, I did have some people that put it in a salt shaker and they sprinkle it on their salads. And, you know, where you'd have a light sprinkling, I guess it's okay. There's some recipes on the bentoniteclayinfo.com site, and you can look at how people have used it. And they usually have the liquid clay or the clay mask or anyway, how they used it in their recipes. And have fun with that. One lady had 4 little boys, and she couldn't get them to drink the clay, so she would make cookies and brownies, and she brought us things up at work. She worked for us for a while, and she would bring us sampling. And we couldn't tell there was clay in it. It was delicious. She even made pizza pie crust with it and cakes and brownies and muffins and things like that. So get creative and share some of your recipes when you find some you like. One lady did the roll-ups, you know, with the cream cheese and the chives and little whatever you want to put in it, and roll it in a tortilla and then slice them and you have the little roundels. And she mixed it in with her cream cheese. And she also did roast with it. There are a lot of good recipes there. So go have fun with that. And thank you for reminding me of that, too. Okay, looks like we're out of questions for the moment. I'm going to go over to our conference line. We have several people on today. If anybody would like to ask me a question directly, you can press *2 on your phone and it'll open your line. And I'll be happy to address your question. I'm going to talk. We always have some new people listening in that aren't real familiar with clay. So I'm going to address what clay is. And clay is volcanic ash. It's the core of Mother Earth that's been birthed through this heat of a volcano. All the impurities have been burned out, and all is left is this mineralized ash. And it falls into water like a lake or a river or a creek. Now, the clay deposits we're finding now are millions and millions of years old. The one that our company used was said to be 43 million years old, or 42 million years old. We'll give or take a million there. And so over that time, it solidifies, it comes together, the water dries up, and, you know, as we know, oceans become deserts through evolution. And then we have these deposits of clay, and what was once all underwater and ocean, and then later there were lakes around, freshwater lakes, from melting snow and things. And that was before we had pollution. So it was all very pure, and these clay deposits have been, clay is very compact. It's hard to wet down. If you ever have clay soils in your flower bed, you'll notice when it dries, it contracts and it gets really hard, and it's hard to get wet and muddy again. It wants to stay like modeling clay, stay together. So it has kept it from becoming contaminated. And that's why the clay deposits are so good. And volcanoes are happening all the time, so new clay beds are there evolving, waiting their time to become clay. The clay is charged with the heat of the volcano, and it has given it a negative charge. Now, there are hydrogen oxide bonds. They're called covalent oxygen bonds. And these bonds tightly knit the minerals together. It's like imagine a chain link fence, and all these minerals are linked together. Or just imagine soldering them together with oxygen molecules. The oxygen in the clay plays a very important part. They believe that first signs of life developed when they found clay in the oceans, and that's when first cellular life began, because the clay had oxygen in it. And these cellular forms in the ocean needed oxygen to reproduce and grow. And so they think clay was very instrumental in the beginning of life on the planet, millions and millions of years ago. This is according to geologists. So the charge, the minerals make up the negative charge. The clay has a strong negative charge, and the little platelets of clay are very thin, microscopically thin, about the size of a business card. So when you hydrate the clay, they separate, these little cards separate, and the water goes between them, which exposes that negative charge. So the water can go in and out, and it is affected with this negative charge. And the clay is capable of drawing into itself things that have a positive charge, and like a magnet, it holds it. Because negative charge is so great, it holds these positive charges. And your bacteria, your virus, your fungus, your yeast infections, your things of this nature are a positive charge. So clay is selective. It doesn't kill all the bacteria in your body. It's always looking for the bad ones, the ones with the positive charge. And I've never heard of anyone dying from taking clay. A few people that are ultra sensitive will have to start with very low amounts, or they may develop a rash or some kind of a healing crisis, and they have to start with very tiny amounts and gradually build up. But clay works for the body as a whole. Now, it has a 9.7 pH, this particular bed. Most all clays have a pH above 7. They're usually in the 8s and 9s. There are some acidic clays out there. These are ocean clays, and you need to ask people, is this, what's the pH of the clay? And if it's in the sixes, you don't want to be using it. So clay is homeostatic and it wants to bring the body into balance. It won't over-alkalize you. I have been taking it 23 years now and my pH always stays right about the 7 level. Because it's a 9.5, it's not going to raise your pH to a 9.5. And there are different areas of the body where our body needs a certain pH. And the clay seems to understand that. The Indians say it has a wisdom of its own. It knows where to go and what to do. And that's as scientific as I can get. I mean, they really explained it. If you use it, you understand it. You know that's true. It's an amazing product, and it seems to go to the worst pockets of positive charge elements, whatever the disease is, and work there first to clean that up. And so it's wanting to balance the body, balance your pH, balance your whole physical system. When you drink the clay, it works from the mouth south. So you're drinking it, it doesn't go into the bloodstream. This particle is too large to pass through the colon wall. So you're cleaning house from the mouth south. It's like a little Pac-Man going in picking up the garbage, or a little garbage truck going in and picking up just the garbage and carrying it out. Goes in one end and out the other. And when you take a clay bath, the negative charge on the clay particles is so strong that it can literally pull toxins that are stored in your body that have been absorbed into the bloodstream out of the body. And it does it through the pores of your skin. Some people can't take clay baths, and so they're older and can't get in and out of a bathtub or don't have a bathtub, and they opt for a clay foot soak. There are 200,000 pores in your feet. So that's a good way to detox, is to sit with your clay in some of this muddy water. And you can get a good plastic container like they used to have, the square dish pans that you could set both your feet in. And they usually come with a lid, like sweater boxes to store stuff under the bed. And you can put the lid on and you can use it. I'd use it maybe 3 times. If it starts smelling, definitely get rid of it. If it changes color, get rid of it. And start with fresh. But other than that, you can probably use it 2 to 3 times, maybe 4, to detox like that. The clay baths are wonderful because you can get down in the water and you can get all your glands. Like you can get down in, I take a cup and I pour water over me, any parts that aren't under the water. And sometimes I turn over in the bathtub. I want to get my underarms, all the glands, your lymph glands are all over your body, so you want to get them exposed and filter out those toxins. Some people who are highly toxic, maybe one lady who had smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years, her first clay bath, or actually her first 3 clay baths, turned the clay brown. We had a gentleman who had worked in a chemical factory for many, many years. In his first bath, the clay turned into a tar-like substance that had fumes. They actually had to scrape it out of the bathtub. And that's very rare. Sometimes you'll see some black in the clay where it's pulling out toxins. I've never seen anything in mine. The first one I took, I was kind of disappointed because it didn't look like anything. Not to say that you're not detoxing. We had a gentleman that pumped diesel for 17 years. In his first clay bath, there was an orange ring around the clay and the bath water after it settled. And he called his wife in and showed her, and she said, "Look, honey, that's the color of diesel." And in rare occasions, you'll see the clay change color, and you know it's doing its job. When you mix it right in the blender and add it to your bath water, it's very safe for your plumbing, even if you're on septic tanks. We had a septic tank expert who said the clay will actually help clean your pipes and help the septic tank. It's safe to use. We had a lady who had bad plumbing in her house, had a 50-year-old house, and she said, I had to call the plumber out at least twice a year to clean the pipes. And since her daughter, who was autistic, since she was giving her clay baths every day or every other day, she hadn't had to call the plumber once because it kept the pipes clean. So you can see it's not only beneficial to plants and animals and people, but for your pipes. So that's pretty amazing, huh? Okay, I'm going to go back over and check and see if we have any more questions that have come up. Carla in Minnesota, is there anything I need to avoid eating or drinking when I'm taking the clay? Anything that would have an adverse reaction? I really can't think of anything. If you're eating or drinking something that's acidic, the clay is going to alkalize it and balance it out. You probably know when you eat something that gives you a little heartburn, go take some more clay and it will balance it out. They say when you're doing a cleanse, you get the most effective cleanse, and this is in the colon part that you're cleansing, when you do it on an empty stomach, so it can really pull that old stuff. When you first start taking it, you may have some constipation from pulling out old dried fecal matter that's wedged up in the crevices of your lower colon. It gets lodged in there, and it's been there for years. It's stagnant, it's dark, and it's hard, and it doesn't, I don't care how much water you drink, it doesn't rehydrate this crap. I recommend if you get constipated, take some magnesium tablets, magnesium oxide. Look on the box of the back of the bottle. You could get it at the grocery store, the pharmacy. It's in with the vitamins. It's magnesium. And look on the backside and make sure it says magnesium oxide, not magnesium caltrate. They come in tablets. You don't want a capsule with all type substance in it. You want it in a tablet. And these little oblong tablets you can cut in half. And then you can adjust your rate. They come in 250 milligram, and you can take one or two or one and a half. You know, I have been constipated all my life, and so I take them. And it depends on what I've eaten, how regularly my bowel movement is. Sometimes I don't need it. But if I'm eating bread and not getting enough vegetables and stuff, I definitely need it. If I eat spinach, I need to cut back on it. I don't need to take it. Spinach is something that cleans me out. So you can cut them in half, and you can play with them and find out what your best effect is. I really can't think of anything, even eating spicy foods, that would be the ideal time to take some clay with it. Even if you've done the cleanse, after you've done the cleanse, which is about 21 days, you can take the clay with meals, before meals, after meals, and sometimes that's a good thing. Before meals, it's going to catch any toxins that are in your food or in your system and carry them out the back door, so to speak. Taking it with your meals, if you tend to get over-acidic, if you know you're drinking espresso coffee and it gives you heartburn, go drink a sip of clay. If the regular clay you take isn't helping it, if you've kind of got an overdose or something acidic, drink the clay with it. If you burn yourself on a jalapeno pepper, go put some of the clay mask in your mouth and hold it there. It will take that burn out. And if you're cooking and doing a recipe and you add it to something spicy, you might notice the spicy is not quite so hot. It seems to take out the heat. So if you're making hot salsa, you may not want to add clay to it if you like it hot. I've had a lot I'd like to add a little clay too. So I can't think of anything you could eat it with or drink with it that's going to really hurt the clay. It's just going to move to bring it into balance. Candy enforced medicine. Can I take clay if I'm also taking diatomaceous earth? Yes, but I wouldn't take them right together. They're cousins, but clay does so much more than diatomaceous earth does. Diatomaceous earth are these little crystallized fossils, and they have been ground up, and they take them for parasites, and they cut the parasites, supposedly, and the parasites die. Clay, on the other hand, attracts parasites, and they go to the clay, and they're carried out of the body. It doesn't cut them up and kill them. Now, they grind it pretty fine where it will hurt the parasites, but evidently it won't hurt the human body, or we'd have a lot of people taking diatomaceous earth who aren't too healthy. So clay does so many more things than diatomaceous earth, but I'm not fond of mixing two different elements like that together. I think clay works best as a standalone. You can take it in the morning and take the other one at night, or wait 3 or 4 hours to take them if you're going to take them together. But I would never mix them together and take them. The diatomaceous earth will, when I mix diatomaceous earth and water, the diatomaceous earth settles to the bottom. That means the particles are heavier. When I mix the liquid clay, they stay emulsified, and they don't separate out. So there's one difference. So you're just diluting down and dumbing down your clay when you mix the diatomaceous earth with it. But you'll get so many more advantages with the clay. It can do so more. I've never heard using diatomaceous earth to heal wounds. And here is a testimonial I got the other day. So far, at least, I've applied 2 clay masks to the right ankle. I could feel the action of it working within my foot, kind of like painless, stinging heat and so forth. Definite energetic effects noted. Skin at the location, which was dark purple and black, and had a sore point in the center of it where the blood, a red spot was of congealed blood. And the whole sheet of damaged skin there showed visible signs of improvement, and the dime-sized area around the red spot was gone and no longer sore. That was very impressive. The first attempt, I would say it was a 9 on the improvement scale with a high of 10. So we just started using it, had 2 applications, and already was seeing and feeling visible improvement on his, whatever this aggravation was on his ankle that had turned purple and black and had a blood clot, a little congealed blood spot in the middle with a sore over it. So those kind of things are what clay does, and it's absolutely fascinating to me how it does everything it does. And as much as I study it, I'm still amazed by what it can do. Okay, here's one, and I can't pronounce your name. Yuhei from Rancosca. Greetings, Perry. I just love we hear from people from other countries. I just love the way the clay has gotten around the globe. Greetings, Perry. So glad I got home to hear you. Hubby had surgery, removal of a screw from the right foot. We are home. Should stay covered till Monday. Can I put clay on the incision? Should he drink some because of the antibiotics and the given in the IV drip? Thank you, Perry. Love you, and they're still on this cause. I put in an order with the new company, also charcoal. Helpful or not needed. I guess she's asking about the charcoal. Well, if you're using clay, you don't need charcoal. Clay is an advanced form of charcoal. It hadn't gone to the ash stage, and it hadn't gone. The volcanic heat is so much more hotter, not more hotter, so much hotter than burning a log to get charcoal. So it has some of the same properties, but not to the advanced stage that the clay does. Yes, as soon as you can, put some clay on the incision, and it's going to heal in half the time. Just make a poultice of the mud and put on it. And as soon as he can have a bath, that would be the best way of getting the antibiotics out of his system. If it was an IV, it went into the blood system, and the clay typically doesn't go into the blood system. If you want him to do a foot soak, if he can sit in a chair and do a foot soak, you can detox from the antibiotics that way, or the dial from the antibiotics, whatever the case may be. Good to hear from you, and so happy that you are still using this clay. I just love hearing from people so far away that I can't pronounce their name and the country where they are, but it's just thrilling to know that we go around the planet. And I have one for my friend Jay. Me again. Is clay good for blood pressure, cholesterol, and heart concerns? We have some testimonials where it's lowered blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure. Blood pressure is one of those two-way things, kind of like constipation. It'll either make you unconstipated or make you constipated, and it depends on your system. Generally, in India, what they recommend for blood pressure is putting a poultice on the inside of your arm. Put the mask on that fleshy part from your elbow to your armpit, the side of your arm, and just wrap some saran wrap around it and leave it on at night for your blood pressure. Now, some people can drink it and it lowers their blood pressure. Other people can drink it and it raises their blood pressure. When you drink it at first, it might raise it as a detox reaction. So, you know, check it out a little bit at first. Just the first sign, don't panic. It might just be cleaning out stuff. So give it two or three times, and if it continues to be high, then I would go with the arm poultices. Clay does help build red blood cells, even though it doesn't go into the bloodstream. Being a catalyst, clay can connect with enzymes in the body, and they become co-creators, and they can make amino acids and peptide chains and proteins and some minerals and vitamins the body may be deficient in that the clay doesn't even contain. There was the story of the shrimp, these little small shrimp, they called them Nigerian shrimp, that lived in pools of clay water in France in these caves. And the biologists came along and they said they can't live on clay and water alone. There's no glycemic index in clay. There's no protein. There's no, nothing of that sort in the clay. So they took them out and tried to feed them and they died, and the ones they left behind thrived. They determined the clay had enzymes that could co-create and make building blocks and make the protein that they needed and the substances to need it, that it was a force for sustaining life in these shrimp. And all it was clay and water that they were living in. And yet they could manufacture their own food with the enzymes in the shrimp's body and survive. Now, if that doesn't blow you away, nothing will. It really amazes me how this stuff works. Okay, here's another one. Do you know if it has ever helped someone with bunions? Yes, I do. I have a friend that had bunions, and she was drinking it for something else, and she noticed her tingling in her bunion, and she got up the next day and said it was smaller, and she kept drinking it. And the last time I saw her, she kicked off her shoes. She said, "I have not been able to stand on my toes or turn my toes under." And she kicked off her shoes and got up on her tippy toes. Then she sat down and curled her toes. And and her bunion had gone down. Whether it would go completely away, I don't know, but it did. For her, it stopped the pain in her bunions, and it did dissolve some of the buildup. But she was drinking it as well as putting it, after she started noticing it, she started putting it on topically. Jay Perry, I'm so sorry for taking up more of your time. Not a problem, honey. That's what I'm here for. I'm just so happy to get home in time to catch this. Gout. My husband had a flare-up, terrible flare-up, clay for gout. Yes, get him drinking it. I would get him 3 ounces every time he has a flare-up. Go drink some more. Gout is a buildup of uric acid in the system. He needs to quit eating acidic things, maybe drinking beer if he drinks beer. It's got a lot of yeast in it. But watch the acetic acid, or actually it's uric acid. But, yes, I have a son-in-law who gets it in his knee. And he is a carpenter, and he needs his knees. And all of a sudden, his knee will just swell up. And someone suggested that it was gout in his knee. I didn't know you could get that gout in your knee. I thought it was always in your foot. But he started drinking the clay, and now he takes it daily, and he hadn't had that flare-up. So get him on that clay. And you know how to do it and how to give him more if he needs it. There's no limit to what you can take. Thanks, Jay. And, honey, you're welcome anytime. You're not taking up time. We have 30 minutes to an hour on here, and as long as there are questions, I'm here. And we all need to know this. Every time someone asks a question, you're answering for somebody else who had the same question that didn't ask it. So I welcome all your questions, even if they're beginner questions. That's how we learn. Okay. And looks like we're out of questions right now. I'm going to go back over to the conference page and ask one more time. If anybody has a question they'd like to ask, press star 2 on your phone, and I'll open the line for you. Our time is almost up, and if I have no questions, I'm going to go back and check the Q&A page again, because sometimes about the time, oh, here's a question. Hello, you're on the air. Is this Alma?
Yes. Yes, hi. Carrie. Oh, yeah, hi.
Yes.
No, I'm not muted. Is that what you ask?
No, what? You're on the air.
Okay, yes, thank you. That was quite, I joined late, unfortunately. I kind of forgot about it, and I joined in time to hear about the shrimp, was it, that was just living on the clay and water?
Yeah.
And I don't know how long a period of time was that, did they say?
No, I don't know, but it's in the book, the story. It was a gentleman who wrote a book. Let me see if I should have it here in my library. Lewis Kearns is his name, and he worked with a lot of farm animals and proteins and vitamins and things.
Okay, well, and the reason why, did you say that the clay had a lot of minerals and vitamins, et cetera? I missed, as I said, I joined kind of in the middle of it.
Yeah, clay has 80 to 90 minerals in parts per million. These are bound together. There are 4 minerals that you'll get some of, but not enough for a daily minimum requirement. The ones that you get some of are calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium. We don't know how much. It's in an exchange layer where the clay will throw off a calcium and take on one of the baddies and absorb it into it. So it's called the cation exchange layer. So those are the only 4 minerals that are bioavailable to the body. The other minerals are linked together and make up the negative charge on the platelets of the clay.
Well, I found that interesting, too. Sometimes people fast, okay, and they'll do different types of fast, whether it's juice fasting or maybe the old-fashioned, just simply water-only fast. But I wonder if they did a clay fast, you know,
yes,
with just clay and water.
I've had a lot of athletes do that.
Really?
And they had one gentleman was training for a triathlon, and he was in his 60s, and he said he could not believe the energy he had after he started the clay fast. He had so much more energy, and he never, where he usually would hit his wall running, he didn't hit his wall. So it actually can make something that you need. It makes amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of the body. From amino acids, they can make peptide chains, they can make protein, and they can make vitamins and minerals the body's deficient in that the clay doesn't even contain. Now that's what's amazing to me. Yeah.
I wonder how long did he do this? Was this several days or longer that he did the clay and water?
It's in a book called Biological Transmutation, and it's in my book also, the part about it. His name was Lewis Kearns, and the biologist would say that they can't leave on clay and water alone. So they'd take them out and they'd try to feed them, and they'd die. But the ones that they left behind thrived. So they determined that they had something in their body, that the clay was giving them something that helped them to live. And they determined it was through enzymatic action. The shrimp had enzymes that would break out what it needed or could co-create what it needed. Now, the plants do the same thing. They take up the clay into their veins through enzymes. Plants have a lot of enzymatic action.
Okay, and the author's name again was, tell me that again.
Which part?
The author's name. Oh, the author, is it Kearns Biological Transmutation?
Yeah, Lewis, K-E-R-V-R-A-N, Kervan.
Okay, wonderful.
Biological transmutations. The movement of life stems from a constant change of one element into another. And all of our minerals work off of each other. Our vitamins work off of each other. You need more magnesium to make your calcium bioavailable. Phosphorus has an effect on some mineral. They're all interrelated. Much like the clay, they work together or they can work apart. And this book is just, if you could just memorize all the minerals and what they do and which one affects which one else, and it's fascinating, his studies. He was sort of before his time, and the science kind of poo-pooed him, and now they're looking back at his work with different eyes. So...
Well, that kind of leads me to one other thought, and you've probably covered this before. How about our pets, like our cats and our dogs, if we added some clay to their drinking water?
Definitely. Of course, they should have it every day.
I mean, of course, you know, you can put it in their food. But, you know, you can put it in a food as a mask, but I wonder if we put it in their drinking water, of course, it would sink to the bottom, I guess, and, you know, have to be stirred periodically, but...
You need it in a porcelain bowl. You don't want to put it in a metal bowl. And you want to mix it in the liquid form before you put it in there. I wouldn't just put the dry clay in. I would go ahead and mix it and get it activated to put it in. Yeah, we have some people put it in their chicken's water.
Okay. So you said, you know, I guess you make it like in a mask, like that ratio first. And then just add more water to it? Is that how you go about doing it?
Or you can just make it in the liquid ratio, a 1 to 8.
Okay,
on my cabinet to drink all the time. I have 2 bottles made up. When I make it, I make double batches in a blender. And it'll keep indefinitely. And so I always never run out. I always have another bottle. And then when it comes time to mix up, in fact, right now, I need to make up some mass, so I'll probably make up another jar of liquid while I already have clay in my blender.
Okay, thank you. Sounds great. I'm going to look that book up. Okay.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that's very interesting. And any of you want to know where to get clay, if you will email me, I'll be happy to give you some locations of people that will take very good care of you. And so I'm going to check back over and see if we have any more questions. Looks like we've got a question out today. And it's a beautiful day out there, so I'm going to say this is Perrier signing out. Go outside and soak up some vitamin D from that sunshine. Hope it's sunny where you are. This is Perrier signing out.